And today, just want to surrender this time into your hand. We just want to listen to your words. Holy Spirit, speak to us. Speak to each and every one of us without exception. Everyone that walking out from this building will be comforted by your peace and love. I thank you, Lord Jesus. I surrender this time into your hand. In Jesus' name, we pray. Amen. God bless you. How are you all? Please take a seat. Give me a few seconds to get my computer set up. Yep. And been drawn to share about anxiety, and mainly this is taken from one of the New Testament book. Philippians 4, verse 6, it's saying, do not be anxious about anything. That's what Philippians say. When I read this, it felt just, how is that possible for not being anxious, for not worrying about anything? When Jesus said, don't worry about what you eat, don't worry about what you wear, don't worry about tomorrow. I mean, don't worry about what you eat. It's not a big deal for me. I mean, as long as we've got Indomie at home, then we should be fine. Don't worry about what you wear. Really, don't really care what I wear. In general, I'm just easy. Whatever clothes. A lot of time I ask my wife and my daughter, is this matching or not? Because I'm sort of not good with color. So, but don't worry about tomorrow. That what Jesus said, oh, that's kind of, oh, yes, a bit different, that one. And then I run a little survey, confidential survey from this church to send it to the teenagers, send it to the young adults, send it to the married with young kids, with the grown-up kids, with the different, trying to get a bit of a good numbers. It all came back. In general, everyone had worries about their future, whether their own future or their kids' future. Disney has a good song which everyone knows. This, when I was in high school, that was 20 years ago and a bit. Hakuna Matata. It means no worries for the rest of your days. I don't want to sing that because, yeah, that's not my call. A lot of time when we go to GP to do, you know, go see the doctor doing blood tests and things, you see anxiety, depression, mental illness, that sort of thing in a big process. Wherever you go in GP, in Melbourne, in Australia, they had that. And started thinking, what is this anxiety is? And I've just been drawn so much to share this topic to the church. And honestly, I haven't really experienced anything for anxiety. I don't have a solid good experience about anxiety, but I was just drawn. So I did a bit of study about anxiety and pulled the words of God. And let's see if we can actually learning something today about anxiety. And before that, we have a youth service every 2 weeks, and it happened to be yesterday. And I usually speak every second time and get someone else to speak. And yesterday, I asked Nicole to share. Nicole, can you please speak on yesterday, which is yesterday? And then pray, give the time for a couple of weeks to pray and see what God asked you to share. And last week, I'll be sharing about Philippians 4, verse 6, about don't be anxious. So the past 2 days, today and yesterday, it has been the same verse without we actually communicating, but I just believe this, how Holy Spirit is always speak to us. So yesterday she speak to the teenagers, to the youth about anxiety, and today we're going to learn about anxiety as well. And we pray that we really get this message. And when we get out from this building, we know how to deal with anxiety. Human reasoning is what's in our mind, the way we think, our intellectual, our academic background, our experiences, our senses. We seeing fact, information, numbers, data, news. And then when we see, okay, there's a problem there and I can't deal with that, I can't find the solution of about my kid's future or whatever, a doubt start coming into our life. And then fear slowly seep in. Oh, what's happening? What's happening? And then it lead to anxiety. When it goes to a severe anxiety, it goes to mental illness, depression, and panic attack. But I'm just going to stop there about anxiety. Dr. Edmund Bourne from America, he wrote a book called Phobia and Anxiety, which recognized, won an award from Benjamin Franklin Award. Basically, in that book, it's saying it's been recognized because it has been success to tackle anxiety. So he had that experience about anxiety and put it in the book about the study, about how to deal with this, and then it's been recognized. It won the award. 5 years later, he came back, anxiety came back to him, and he experienced more severe anxiety. In his book later on that he write, the title is Fear and Healing. Basically, it's saying, in order to deal with anxiety clearly, to kick anxiety out of our life, we need to have a spiritual practice in our life. In spiritual practice, what he mentioned is prayer and meditation. This guy is not Christian. I don't know, I checked background and everything. I don't know whether he is or he's not. But this educational secular world agreed that in order to remove anxiety in our life, we need to have spiritual practice. This is what we're going to learn today. What is spiritual practice that link to anxiety so that we can have peace of God in our life and we have no more worries in our life? When you say no worries to your Aussie people, no worries, mate, it has nothing to do with this, all right? So that is just the Aussie being nice to each other, no worries. Some example in the Bible that shows anxiety is Mark 4:4. This is when the boat been the storm in the boat, and disciple saying, "Oh, Jesus was asleep at that time," and they feel anxious and freak out. "What, Jesus? Are we gonna perish here? Wake up!" So that is one of the example. They afraid of the storm that come and attack the boat. Second one is when Peter walks on the water. Jesus said to Peter, "Hey, Peter, yes, come, walk on the water." So he got out and walked on the water, and he came to Jesus. But when he saw the wind, when he saw the problem comes, he was afraid. Then he began to sing. Same thing when Peter denies Jesus 3 times in 3 different occasions. The women, the servant of the priest, and there's another person came to Peter. And Peter saying, "No, I don't know Jesus." He was afraid. He get caught following Jesus. Last example that I pull is Mary and Martha. This time, Martha knows the special guest coming, and then she wants to do the best for Jesus. She prepared the lamb, the barbecue pork, the chapjai, the everything, gado gado, and everything's out. But then she starts getting a bit of anxious. "Oh my gosh, there's so many things to do in the kitchen." But Mary just sit down doing nothing, listening to Jesus. So she told Jesus, "Jesus, send Mary to the kitchen. I need her." Jesus said, "Martha, Martha, you are anxious and troubles about many things." Why do we experience anxiety? First, it's because of fear. Second is ownership. We just went through fasting a few weeks ago about fear. Fear of man, fear of God, fear of anything. There's so many fear actually in this life. If you Google it, it just comes heaps of fear. There's fear of darkness, fear of needle, fear of blood, hemophobia, fear of in the enclosed space. There's so many fears. That is object-based fear. When the object is there, you will experience fear in your life. But when the object is disappear, you're not going to feel anything. When the needle is there, and you knew that the nurse going to take the blood from you, then you start feeling that fear. When we go to the zoo, the snake and the spider was caged. That is removing our fear to that object. The fear that we're going to learn today is not that spider fear, snakes or anything, but there are three fears that I like to share this morning. Fear of man, fear of failure, and fear of God. First, fear of man. A classic example from Daniel. He got down on his knees 3 times a day, prayed and give thanks to God as he'd done previously. This is a story when King Darius declared and signed the law. It's saying, no one pray as from today. To anyone, to any divine person, to any God, no one pray. If you get find out that you are praying, we're going to throw you to the lion's den. Daniel, at that time, was a high official, and he knew the law has been signed and released to the public. But then he still go back to his habit, what he used to do. That's what he has done previously, to pray to God. Another story from Daniel. The king assigned them a daily ration of food and wine from his own kitchen. But Daniel said, Daniel doesn't want to eat it. Doesn't want to eat the meat and the wine from the king's kitchen because it's defiled himself. And he asked the chief of staff for permission not to eat this unacceptable food. Hey, just give me water and vegetable, So he asked permission for food not to be eaten from the king. If today we are fearing men in our community, our work, and they ask us to do things that beyond our conscience, that we know that God doesn't like it. If our boss asks, can you falsify this document? Can you lie to this person? And your conscience say, don't do it. What would we do? Do we choose to do the right thing that pleasing God? Or we choose to fear man to save our pride and reputation? We normally fear to a person who are more senior, higher position, with more authority. Those persons that define how we perform at work. Tell me how much you worth. They tell you how to do it and how things should be done. Normally, people will asking for approval and acceptance from this person. People are start performing at school, community, at work, because this to get this acceptance, approval from someone above us. Daniel is not fearing of man. He knows how to choose the right thing. He knows how to please God rather than man. Point two that I want to share is fear of failure. Think about this, about failure. What is failure and what is success? If you get B in your result, you will feel a failure against someone sitting next to you that get an A result. And you feel much better to someone next to you that getting C results. How about if you are a parent that you work in as a director of a big company, international company, you have 5 kids your own and raising up a good kids, and then you have a lot of investment property. And second one, we compare to a single mom who raising up kids by herself. How do we compare? Which one is more successful? Of course, the world will see that the one that has more wealth is are more successful. But the question is whether God see the same thing as us. We need to remember that God doesn't give equal talents, give physical ability. You can probably run 10 kilometers, no problem. 10K, I'm struggling with 2. Some may have a better social skills than other by nature. Everyone is unique in God's creation. That's why we should be stopping making any comparison. Be a man that succeeds in God's eye. That is our aim. That is our goal. And how to do that? In Psalm 113, it's saying, delighted in the law of the Lord and meditate the word day and night. And all he does will be prosper. We are not aiming to be prosper. It's not a prosperity gospel, but we delighted and meditate the word of God. The last fear is fear of God. In the beginning, God created heavens and earth. And he is the Alpha and the Omega, the first and the last, beginning and the end. And fear him, God, who can destroy both of our soul and our body in hell. We should be channeling all our fear. Instead of fearing all the unimportant things, instead of fearing the people, feeling to be fear to be failure, we should be channeling everything to God, who's sovereign, who's mighty. He created heavens and earth. Know who our God is. If we know who our God is, then we shouldn't fear of anything else. We channel our mind to him who is greater than all men and doesn't really care about how successful you are. But he cares about who you are, what you becoming to be, what I becoming to be. He cares about the purpose that planted in my life and your life. Fearing God means all attention, all the choices that we have, channeling back to God. We obey him and acknowledge him as our Lord and us as our God. So that's first point. Learn about ownership, the second point. Anxiety issue is commonly related with ownership. The more attached us with the belonging that we have, the more anxious we're going to be. We remember the story of the 5,000 people being fed by Jesus with 2 bread and 5 fish. If the little boy with 2 fish and 5 bread too attached with his lunchbox that the mom prepared for him for lunch, and he's thinking, this lunchbox is mine. Like you have kids, you're like, this is mine, mommy, this is mine. And don't want to let go of that lunchbox, then he will never experience miracle on that day. The reason he can experience that miracle on that day because he's willing to let go that sense of belonging, that sense of ownership. If we can let go what we have, our ability, our gift, our talent, give it to God, it will be multiplied. The earth is the Lord's and everything in it. The world and who live in it. If we can truly understand and embracing this verse and believing, so we won't be attached to belonging, everything that seems we own, because we're just a steward. We're just agent of God. And we're just the manager of everything that we have. That is including our own life. Like Paul said, to live is Christ. And to die is gain. We can see what we have is not our own, then we shouldn't be anxious about everything that we have, all our assets, cars, because everything is not ours. We're just the manager. Everything is the Lord's. A person cannot receive even one thing unless it is given from heaven. What we have today, family, friends, assets, house, cars, it is given from heaven. People next to you may be a little bit smarter than you. It's a gift from God. You can ask questions to them if he or she has more wisdom than you. He is the one that giving you a chance to be successful. He gives you power to be successful. That is our God. When do we usually get anxious? When do we usually get anxious? First, when we meditate our problem. Meditate means when we continuously thinking about something. When we continuously thinking about how to make money, that money will take control of our life. If you continuously thinking about our kids' future, then whatever decision that you made, it will be based on the kids' future. If you continuously thinking about work, that work will consume and take control of our life. If you continuously thinking about God, guess who will take control of your life and my life? It will be God. It will be God, the God of universe, the beginning and the end, the Alpha and Omega, the past and the present and the future, the one that knows your heart and my heart. There always be anxiety when we thinking about other things than God. The second one, when there is no breathing space. I'm going to take this chance, take a chance to have a water. I'm going to fill this water right up, right to the top. I'm not trying to spill anything, but Randy helped me if I spilled anything. This is top. I don't know whether you trust me or not, but this is right at the top. And if I've been given a task to carry this water quick, then I'll be concentrating my eyes to this water. If there's any obstacle left and right, then I'm trying. I don't want to drop in the speaker. Left and right, then you know, I'm just focusing on this water in the cup. That is how we get anxiety in our life. But what we need is a breathing space. And then I can just go down and have a chat with you. I don't need to worry about this. I'm just gonna enjoy our fellowship. Don't need to worry. We need a breathing space in our life. We need to stop. We need to slow down. We need to meditate. We need to seek God. Amen. We need that. Even Formula One had a pit stop to check the engine. Maybe not the engine, the tires for sure. Change the tires. Check everything in general. 20 seconds, bang, go again. That is to reset and to realign with the standard. We need that. We need the word of God. We need God in our life. If we have breathing space, anything that comes in your way, you can say, no worries, Mike. That is breathing space. Come to God, meditate His word. Now, how do we deal with anxiety? Oh, there's a typo there. Just realized now. First, we need to cast our anxiety to the right side. 1 Peter 5:7 saying, casting all your anxiety on him because he cares. Second, cast the net on the right side of the boat and you will find some. Peter used the word casting is because maybe he's a fisherman. When Jesus asked Peter to cast the net on the other side, Peter followed and cast the net to the right direction. Often we're casting our anxiety as well, but in the wrong direction. In the wrong side of the boat. You're feeling stressed. I better go shopping. And then the anxiety transfer to your husband or to your wife. We call it, in religious way, in spiritual way, it's imparting. Some people go, you know, gambling. I used to work at Crown for many for a year and a half. They gamble. The people that come into the Crown is people that you see every day. They go there because they stress with their life. They've got nothing else to do. They have no purpose. Some people go shopping, gamble, and eat. You know, so there's people are casting anxiety but to the wrong side of the boat. Second, we need to walk toward Jesus. Matthew 14 say, this is a story when Peter got out from of the boat and walked on the water and came to Jesus. When he saw the wind, he was afraid and began to sing. He cried out, Lord, save me. Jesus immediately reached out his hand and took hold of him. Peter's anxiety over the problem that arose at that moment caused him to sing. The problem caused him to sing. But Peter sing, but never drown, because Jesus was there. Jesus immediately reached out his hand, because Peter is in the close proximity with Jesus. That's why when he sing, he never drown. Bible never say, and Jesus then run as soon as possible and calling Peter, 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 Peter. That is when we walk toward Jesus. Jesus will come to us and immediately reach out our hand, reach out Peter's hand. Our life can be sinking as well. Looks like that we do the right thing. Everything seems right, but, you know, job redundancy, marriage problem, family issue, mortgage, future kids, education, relationship, anything, you name it. We still can sinking as well, but we just going to be about begin to sing. We will never drown. The thing is, we need to know where our position is. If our position is to walk toward Jesus, then we will never drown, because Jesus is there to immediately take our hand. But if we are going to the other side direction, then, you know, we can be drawn. We need to know where we are. Assuming that we are in the middle of tunnel, a very, very dark tunnel, and you barely can even see your own hand, what would we do? We'll try to find a light. It's probably the smallest, tiniest light that we can find it, and I can see my own. Oh, but there's a little dot there. I'm going to just go there. I'm going to walk slowly, baby walk, baby crawl, run, whatever you call it, going that way. The light's going to be brighter. The light is going to be bigger. Not because the light is bigger and brighter. It's because we are drawing closer to the light. We need to draw closer to Jesus. We need to draw closer to Jesus. Know where we are. Know where we're standing. Are we walking towards him? And he will reach your hand and my hand. And he is the light. We will be able to see where we are when we are within the light. Philippians 4, verse 6. Do not be anxious about anything. It didn't say don't be anxious about this A, B, and C. C and the rest is okay. But it's saying about anything. But in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, and let your requests be made known to God. What does supplication mean? Supplication means humility, humble. When we pray, I think everyone's pray. Christian pray. But if you look at, check what is the inside of our prayer, how many I in that prayer? God, I want job. I want work. I want health. I want this. I want this about me, myself, and I. But prayer with humility is not just about I. Way much beyond than that. Opposite of humility is pride. Our prayer may not be heard, maybe because there's too many I in our prayer. Our prayer may not be heard, maybe because the prayer always prioritizes my need and my desire. Maybe we pray for our career, it's just simply to protect our pride. Maybe we pray for a new car, that's just for my desire and my pride to be look successful. Pride is the enemy of each prayer. And pride is the opposite of humility. Pride is when everything revolves around the word I. Anxiety is to focus about our fear and our ownership. And pride is all about ourselves. This is very similar, very close between anxiety and pride, because I is always revolved around these two words. I is in the middle of anxiety and pride. That's why when we pray, pray with a humble heart. It's not about I anymore. God, what do you want me to do? Thanksgiving. That's the last verse. Thanksgiving. Count your blessing in your prayer. God, I thank you for everything that you've done in my life. Everything. My health, my community, everything. I thank you for that. Count your blessing. Remember his protection upon your family. Remember his providence when you experienced hardship in the past. Yes. Remember his faithfulness in our life. When we do all that, this whole package, burger, chips, and Coke, I mean everything, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your heart and your mind and my mind. Just imagine it's a small container of water with a dirt in it. If I'm pouring out this big, massive amount of water into it, then that water with the dirt is going to be flushed out, going to be cast out. That's how we cast anxiety, by receiving it from the Holy One. Pray with humility, thanksgiving. Tell God what you need, and the peace of God that surpasses all understanding will guard our heart and your heart. I want to share a little story from a girl that she's around 8 to 10 years old, and she experienced patah tulang apa? Huh? Broken bones on her ankle, right? And then she complaining to her dad, say, "Dad, I can't dance anymore. I can't run anymore." She's a dancer. "I can't do it anymore. I'm on crutches now." The dad look at the ankle and say, "Oh, I think you will be fine. Just give a bit of time, about a month to 2 months, and you will be able to dance again." The girl said, No, look at me, look at me. I can't do it." And she's whinging and whinging after a couple of days, and the dad sort of gave up. "Look, why don't you come with me to follow me to my work tomorrow?" Oh, well, it's school holiday, so she came along with him. In the morning, she's still whinging and complaining, sitting next to the driver car. "Oh, my foot, I can't dance anymore." "Okay, yeah, no, it's okay. Just follow me." And dad took her to the hospital. Hospital where he works. The dad is actually a doctor. Well, the girl knows that the dad is a doctor, but don't know what sort of doctor, what kind of doctor he is. So the dad introduced the little girl to the nurse, to the work station where he works, and the nurse started looking, "Hey girl, how are you?" And looking at the ankle, "Hey, what's happened?" Because she's on the crutches. What happened to you? Yeah, she told the story that she fell from the dance, and then she couldn't run again, and she just again complaining to the nurse. And the nurse looked at the wound and the ankle, and you know what? You should be okay, because your dad is the best doctor in town, and he can do surgery, and this is like day-to-day things that he do, and you will be healed in 1 month or 2 months. Going back home, the girl with the dad again in the car, she felt much better. She felt peace. Well, the ankle still broken, but then her understanding about her dad is different. She knows about her dad more now. She knows that her dad is the best doctor in town, and she knows her dad is going to heal her, because that's what dad promises. You'll be fine in 1 and 2 months' time. You will be able to run again and dance again. We probably experience anxiety in our life because we don't know who our God is. We don't know his promises in our life. We probably just read the Bible, but we never really study and meditate the words. We read the word just to tick the box. Done, Lord, thank you, goodbye, bless me. But then if we want to know him more, the God of sovereign, the God of the universe, above and beyond everything, all the fears that we have, fear of man, of being failure, anything, it doesn't matter. Because we know who our God is. We know who our Father is. Knows who our God is. To summarize how to get rid of anxiety, first, we need to fear God. We need to channel all our fears to God. Second, we need to cast our anxiety to the right direction, not to one direction, to the right direction. Then we need to know where we stand. We need to walk like Peter towards Jesus. And when things happen in your life, he's just gonna, "Lord, help me." And he will be there immediately, pulling your hands. The last one, prayer with humble heart. Thanksgiving is not about I anymore. It's more above and beyond than I in our life. May the Lord's love and peace be with you, with me, with everyone in here, and we can kick out and cast anxiety in our life. God bless you all.
Church, I invite you to rise to your feet. Big.
Church, the word cast, what it means is you're throwing your anxieties to God, but not just throwing them at him in the hope that he will catch them. You're throwing it knowing God will catch them. That's where the original word of cast in the Hebrew comes from. Casting. It's like casting a garment onto a donkey, where you know that the garment will land there. And so as we cast our anxieties onto the Lord, we will be at rest in the Father's hands, knowing God's got this. I just want to remind you from Psalm 145, verse 8. It says, "The Lord is merciful and compassionate, slow to get angry, and filled with unfailing love. The Lord is good to everyone. He showers compassion on all his creation. All of his works will thank the Lord." You know, in verse 13, it says, "The Lord always keeps his promises. He is gracious in all that he does. The Lord helps the fallen. He lifts those bent beneath their loads. The eyes of all who look to him in hope, he will give them their food as they need it." That is our God. This is the God we can trust. Notice how the words always, all, everything, whatever you're facing, God can take care of it. And I know that this word has started to minister to some of your hearts. There are things that wake you up at night. There are things that you can't shake off your mind. Worries, anxieties that don't seem to leave you at rest, even during the day, even after a good night's sleep. And as a church, we want to pray for you. So after the service, we have a prayer team lined up in front here. And we are here to just pray with you, to stand with you, to ask the Lord to strengthen your faith, to look to Him, to trust Him, to cast your anxieties on to Him. And so if that is you, if you would like us to pray with you, I just want to invite you after the service to come forward as we lay hands and pray in faith for God to truly give you rest in your hearts. For now, I ask you to raise your hands as you receive God's blessing. Church, let the favor of the Lord our God be upon you and establish the work of your hands this week. May the Lord bless you, keep you. The Lord make His face shine on you and be gracious to you. May the Lord turn His face toward you and give you His perfect peace. In Jesus' mighty name, as one we say, amen. Amen. Have a great Sunday and a fabulous week, everyone.